The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
What I would say is I'm going to shut down the virus, not the country.
I'm not going to shut down the country. I'm going to shut down the virus.
I'm going to shut down the virus.
I'm going to shut down the virus. I'll shut down the virus, not the economy.
Well, I'm going to shut down the virus.
Once we shut down the virus,
I'm going to shut down the virus.
I'm going to shut down the virus.
I'm not going to shut down the country, but I'm going to shut down the virus.
Jeez, look, there is no federal solution. This gets solved at a state level.
If you read between the lines there in that last comment, that's the fake president basically admitting that I've been a complete and total failure. Yeah, we can't solve this at the federal level. He's with this group of U.S. governors from various states, and he's saying we can't stop COVID at the federal. We can't shut down the virus. You're going to have to do it at the state level. You can't make this stuff up. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We certainly appreciate you joining our growing audience. You can get to the live audio stream of this show at CRN Digital Talk Radio, Channel 3 on that platform. The video stream, however, is offered exclusively at our very own website, thetrumpet.com. Just go to thetrumpet.com/live. And you can get to the live stream every day. It plays at 11 a.m. here in the central time zone of the United States. And, of course, you can get to the podcasts of this show after the fact on the same page. Special thanks to Andrew Loker, who subbed in on yesterday's program and covered or went through a variety of topics, tying in some of his thoughts, too, on the launch of that satellite, the James Webb satellite, over the weekend, and just how sparse the coverage was, the media coverage of that really incredible event. By the way, we got a comment from one of our viewers who said, in case you haven't been told by somebody else already, the launch of the telescope was done in South America because it is closest to the equator and thus can take advantage of the Earth's spin for extra momentum. It equates to about an extra and free 700 miles per hour, which can save tons of fuel. And you should know that our very own producer, Sam Livingston, he disagrees with this reasoning. And so I'm going to have to pull a Fauci and settle the science here. The satellite should have been launched from Guthrie. No doubt about it. Guthrie, maybe as an alternative site, Wootton-Wawan, right next to the Edstone campus. It has to be near one of God's campuses, because who else is giving this story any kind of coverage except for God's work, except for this program, except for the Trumpet magazine, except for Joel Hilliker with his Trumpet brief just last week? Like Mr. Loker said yesterday, he got up eager to read about it Saturday morning, and what did he find? Virtually nothing. Had to go over to the NASA website just to get a story about this incredible invention that really should lift the spirits of everyone all over the world. And yet, very little coverage. It gets lost in all of the politics or the stories like you hear at the top of the hour, even on our own radio station, because we hire that out. Every day, COVID, everything COVID. It's all about the COVID. It's all about the virus. It's never going to go away. We're approaching 2 years, completing 2 years. This is from another one of our viewers who recently wrote that Richard Palmer is awesome. And this time he says Andrew Loker is awesome. So a lot of people are awesome in the mind of this very regular viewer that we have from a faraway place. He says, P.S., apparently the only hint from the mainstream media of the successful launch of the James Webb telescope would have come if someone named James Webb had died from comorbidities with Omicron. Followed up by, in other news, a multi-billion dollar telescope of the same name. This is one of our viewers commenting on how, as I just say, everything in some way or another connects to the virus. And there you heard Joe Biden, the fake president, right at the top of the show there with the cold opening. I'm going to shut down the virus. I'm going to shut it down. I'm going to shut it down. And then just the other day, he says, I can't shut it down. The federal government can't shut this down. He's finally admitting the obvious, that he cannot stamp out the virus. Listen to this. This is him back in September. We played this clip for you just a few months ago, clip 11.
If they'll not help, if these governors won't help us beat the pandemic, I'll use my power as president to get them out of the way.
That's just 2-3 months ago. If these governors get in the way, I'll use my power. I mean, I've got a lot of power. I've got executive power. I can take executive actions. I can move Ron DeSantis or whoever needs to be moved out of the way because I'm going to stamp out the virus. And then this week he says, well, it's not going to be solved at the federal. There's no federal solution. It's going to be solved at the state level. That's Joe Biden this week admitting, if you read between the lines, that I've been a complete and total failure. How, just in looking at the numbers, how else do you explain it? More people dying this year under Biden's watch and with three vaccines than died all of last year, all of 2020. Speaking of pretty ridiculous flip-flops, listen to the resident communist doctor over at CNN, Liana Nguyen. Listen to her early on the face masking, and then what she said more recently, clip 8.
If we all wear the mask, then we're protecting ourselves and everybody around us.
I wasn't expected to hear essentially that indoor mask mandates can all go.
I would make sure to be wearing a mask indoors in crowded spaces. Specifically urging mask wearing in indoor crowded spaces is a good idea.
States and local jurisdictions and businesses that have let go of indoor mask mandates, they should bring it back as
well. Don't wear a cloth mask. Cloth masks are little more than facial decorations. There's no place for them in light of
masks are not appropriate for this pandemic. It's not appropriate for Omicron, it was not appropriate for Delta, Alpha, or any of the previous variants either, because we're dealing with something that's airborne.
That's the same woman in the same year saying that if everyone wears a mask, we protect everyone. Everyone's protected. And then she says, masks don't work. I guess she still has a job with CNN. Doesn't matter. It's like you're reading the Babylon Bee every day. There was a Babylon Bee story that said Dr. Fauci agrees to debate the 17 previous versions of Dr. Fauci because he's just flip-flopped all over the place. They contradict themselves, these scientists. Masks work. I would put a mandate in. It protects everyone. And then she says cloth masks don't work. They just don't work. So get rid of them. The latest variant, everybody in the world, they know about Omicron. Listen to Dr. Fauci talking about Omicron in a recent interview. This is clip 2.
And many of the Omicron cases, interestingly, are either without symptoms or minimally symptomatic, particularly the breakthrough infections that you get when people have been vaccinated.
In other words, it's not even as bad as a cold. We're talking about the common cold here. It has been the top topic of discussion on all of the talk shows and all of the news reports. This is what gave rise. We've got to get the rapid tests out there. 500 million tests. Federal government springs into action. And then more reports this week where Rochelle Walensky's acknowledging that the testing doesn't work. And by the way, how does the testing stamp out the virus anyway? On and on it goes. This is from the New York Times this week. It says, given, first the title, Israel considers fourth vaccine dose, but some experts say it's premature. So Israel, you know why? You know why they're on to number four? We're in the same calendar year. Three jabs is not enough. We got to get four. Why? The very first line of the article, given the fear of a major Omicron outbreak. Well, Fauci just said there's nothing to it for most people. It's like a cold. It's not even like the flu. It's nature's way, as others have said, that we're all getting natural immunity because it's such a weak strain. Given the fear of a major Omicron outbreak during the winter, when the hospitals are already overflowing with patients with complications of flu or other respiratory ailments. Did you catch that from the New York Times? Leave aside Omicron. In the winter, hospitals are already overflowing with patients. I mean, we've been led to believe over the last couple of years that it's COVID. COVID is what's filling up the hospitals. Before COVID, I mean, the hospitals, they just worked perfect. There were always enough beds. They never had emergencies where hospitals were full. The New York Times says again, when the hospitals are already overflowing with patients with complications of flu and other respiratory ailments, the advisory panel voted overwhelmingly, this is in Israel, to recommend a fourth dose for people over 60, those with compromised immune systems and health workers to be administered at least 4 months after their third shot. You know, it wasn't that long ago when the third shot was controversial. Well, I've been completely vaccinated. And then we had to go back and forth about, well, by vaccinated, do you mean two shots? Or should we add a third booster to it? Now it's just, well, the third one, it's a given. Now we're on to number four. Now we're at number four after 3 or 4 months. We'll surely go the way of Israel. We've got to. It's science, right? Science. The New York Times says here, Israel is considering whether to approve a fourth COVID-19 vaccine dose for vulnerable people to contain the fast-spreading Omicron variant, the variant that Fauci says, yeah, for most people, it's really nothing. It's like a sneeze. Fatigue. If you get fatigue, you could have Omicron. It says here, let me just back up. It says, vulnerable people to contain the fast-spreading Omicron variant, despite debate among scientists and a lack of evidence either for or against another booster. This is the New York Times basically saying, we have no idea if another booster helps. But here comes this board in Israel saying, well, whether we know it or not, hey, just get another jab. Get another jab of the vaccine. No problem. I mean, this is all that they have left. Just get the jab. Not one, not two, four. Four of them in 1 year. It says here, the panel of experts advising the Israeli government on the pandemic recognized that uncertainty, but on Tuesday, it recommended giving a fourth dose. The panel of experts acknowledged there was no science, but they said, get a fourth jab. Get a fourth dose. It says, concluding that the potential benefits outweighed the risks. It pointed to signs of waning immunity a few months after the third shot and said that any delay in additional doses might prove too late to protect those most at risk. Waning immunity a few months after the third shot. As I say, just a few months ago, the third shot was considered controversial. Now we're getting from the experts that, yeah, you've got waning immunity just a few months after the booster. Listen to this clip from Nicole Wallace. She's a self-described Fauci groupie. She worships at the altar of Tony Fauci. Listen to her from last night, clip one.
Can I just be super blunt? Is everyone going to get it? Everyone I know has COVID right now.
Nicole, everybody is not necessarily going to get it. We have the tools to be able to prevent people from getting it, and we should do everything we can to avoid getting it.
I've used all those tools. I'm triple vaxxed. I wear a mask everywhere except when I sit down and I put it on before I get up, and I'm going to get it. So how do you not get it? How do you not get Omicron? I'm a Fauci groupie. I'm a thrice vaccinated mask adherent. I buy KN95 masks by the, you know, caseload. They're in every pocket. I wear them everywhere except when I sit down. And I am certain that this is not a variant I can outrun.
So what is there left to do? That's you know, she's right there on the Communist Network. She's a Fauci groupie. Whatever Fauci says goes. She's gotten the three jabs. She gets the N95 masks, the kinds of masks they use in hospitals. Wears them everywhere except on her news program, obviously. Everywhere else, according to what she says, she's got the mask on, and she says, I'm going to get it. I'm going to get Omicron. And everyone, did you notice she said, everyone I know has the COVID. Every single person. Now let's, again, like I said at the top, let us read between the lines. What is she acknowledging that nothing man has done has worked? Nothing has shut down the virus. If anything, the virus is spreading faster than ever. That's what we're seeing from statistics, from science. Everyone she knows has the COVID, and she's there saying, I know I'm going to get it. So what does that tell you about all of these cures? It tells you what the trumpet was telling you 16, 17 months ago. The cure is worse than the disease. Listen to Dr. Makary on Fox News just yesterday as well, clip 3.
And nobody wants anyone to get sick, even if it's a mild or flu-like illness. But now we've got laboratory evidence that Omicron is not infecting the deep lung tissue, the area that gives you severe illness, nearly at the same rate. So we've got laboratory evidence it's mild, population data that it's mild, and bedside observations that it's mild. Omicron, for most of the world who will not get vaccinated, will be nature's vaccine.
Nature's vaccine. And Dr. Fauci himself says that most people that get Omicron, they're not even going to know they have it. They're not, and yet still the all of these stories. Saw one this morning. This woman that came down with it on an airplane, and so she quarantined herself in the laboratory on the airplane to protect everybody. I mean, this is insanity. When has this ever been the case where a common cold is the top, it's the top of the news cycle every single day? In fact, as that doctor on Fox News brings out, this is going to stamp it out altogether. I mean, where do these communists go from here? If Nicole Wallace is admitting everything I've done, and I've done it all because I'm a Fauci disciple, and none of it's working. And she doesn't exactly seem terrified of dying, does she? That ought to tell you something as well. The New York Times, it says here, some scientists warned that the plan could backfire because too many shots. This is Israel. Remember, they're on to number 4 now. But some scientists warned that too many shots might cause a sort of immune system fatigue, compromising the body's ability to fight the coronavirus. What? You mean getting this drug is compromising the body's ability to fight off coronavirus? This is in the New York Times. That's Nicole Wallace at MSNBC. This is the New York Times. Citing scientists that say, you know, getting the fourth one, it actually might weaken your immune system. Now, where have you heard this before on this program at thetrumpet.com? Of course, tomorrow's news today. This from ABC this morning. The newly updated CDC guidelines don't require testing at the end of isolation because PCR tests can stay positive for up to 12 weeks. So the tests don't even work. That's according to CDC Director Dr. Rochelle Walensky. She said that on Good Morning America just today. Yeah, you could be COVID positive for up to 12 weeks. And so the CDC, they're back and forth. 10 days isolation if you test positive. Now it's back to five. Why? Well, listen to Rochelle Walensky explain the reasoning. Clip 12.
And I want to start with the change in the CDC guidance that cuts the isolation period in half if you're asymptomatic. So how did the CDC settle on 5 days for everyone?
It really had a lot to do with what we thought people would be able to tolerate.
What people would tolerate? That's the science? It really, why did you go from 10 to 5 days isolation? Well, actually, that's about what we thought people would put up with. This is the director of the CDC, the Center for Disease Control. It has nothing to do about science. The tests don't work. The days of isolation flip-flop. And oh, by the way, the Delta CEO sent a letter to the CDC saying, look, if our employees have to go into isolation for 10 days, I mean, we're going to lose billions of dollars. Or something to that effect. So the CDC springs into action. Well, we got to try to please Delta. And by the way, most people aren't self-isolating anyway. So we'll lower it from 10 to 5. And there you go. That's the new science. Doesn't this inspire confidence in our elites, the leaders? The leaders that say over and over and over, I'm going to shut down the virus. I'm going to shut it down. I'm going to shut it down. Well, we can't solve this. That's left to the states. Ben Shapiro, he had a piece on the big government COVID-19 lie. He says here on October 30th, just days before the presidential election, that would be October 30th last year, Joe Biden tweeted, I'm not going to shut down the country. I'm not going to shut down the economy. I'm going to shut down the virus. Shapiro says, this was a lie. It was a lie because nobody can shut down the virus. Well, Joe Biden admitted as much this week. Well, I guess he didn't admit that. He said the states now. I guess the states can shut down the virus. And by that, I presume that he means the blue states. Because certainly Florida, even though the tests or the cases are plummeting, Florida can't be doing a good job because it's a Republican governor there. That's really what motivated the comments that Biden made back in September. Policies that DeSantis had put in place, and then Biden springs into action. He says, look, I'll use my executive power to get you governors out of the way so I can stop this pandemic. You see the politics at play here? It's all politics. So why did you go from 10 days to 5 days? Well, you know, that was kind of what we thought people would tolerate. It's the director of the CDC. Shapiro writes, why pursue counterproductive COVID-19 restrictions? Because the big government lie must be maintained. It is an article of faith. Here's Shapiro. You see, he's touching on, again, a point we've made over and over again. This is a religion for these zealots. In the same statement, she acknowledges that nothing works. Nicole Wallace says, I am a Fauci disciple. I'm a groupie. Whatever Fauci says goes in my house. It's a religion. These are fanatics. These are zealots. These are, like the unelected governor of New York says, these are her apostles. These are her disciples. It says here, and faith requires reason-free sacrifice. It requires skin in the game. Demonstration of devotion to pursue rational policy would evidence no fealty to the notion of government as protective God. It says here, to pursue irrational policy and then demand obeisance. This is the mark of the faithful. And if you're not faithful, you are a heretic. The government knows all. The government is God, and so we submit to government. Communist government, communist rule. We call that by another name. It's will worship. Spoken of in Colossians chapter 2. This is why, even though if you read between the lines, you're hearing them acknowledge just how complete failures they are. This is why they don't come out and say, we got it wrong, so we're going to go back to 2019 and the years when the common cold was exactly that, common, and certainly not something that headlined the news every evening, every day, every morning. They double down on their will worship. You just keep doing what we say to do. 10 days, 5 days. Look, we've decided it's 5 days. You do what we do. Masks work, they don't work. It doesn't matter. If Fauci says wear it, you got to strap it on. This is from the Wall Street Journal. We're going to be seeing more articles like this. You saw articles like this a year and a half ago at the Trumpet magazine. You did. I'll get to that in a second. The journal says, coercion made the pandemic worse. It would be interesting to go back, and I know the Wall Street Journal leans more in the conservative direction, but if you go back to March, April of 2020, I wonder what the journal would have been saying about all of those draconian policies that big pharma, that big medicine, big medical put in place. These are even the last few months of the Trump administration. 15 days, we got to do it. It's just 15 days. We got to slow the spread. I mean, look at what's happening in Italy. Look at what happened in China. We've got to slow this down. And we know how to do it. We're going to start with lockdowns. And we're going to add masks to that. And then we're going to have social distancing. We're going to shut down businesses. We're going to destroy people's livelihoods. And this was all before the vaccine came along. The Wall Street Journal says, authoritarian governmental approaches hamper problem-solving abilities. They typically involve one-size-fits-all solutions, like travel bans and mask mandates. Once governments adopt coercive policies, power-hungry bureaucrats often spout an official party line and suppress dissent. No matter the evidence, and impose further sanctions to punish those who don't fall in line. It says once coercion is set in motion, it's hard to backtrack. It's exactly what we said at the Trumpet. Tomorrow's news today. Look back at those 2020 issues. Look back at what we said on this program from the beginning. March of 2020. It says here with voluntary approaches, we get the benefit of millions of people around the world actively trying to solve problems and make our lives better. With authoritarian approaches, we get solutions that meet requirements of those in power, regardless of how we benefit. It's just whatever the people in power say. It's one size fits all. Everybody's got to get the vaccine. The five-year-olds even. There is no threat. This virus poses no threat to the five-year-olds, and yet the science, we're told, says that they should get the jab too. I played that clip for you from CBS on Monday's program. I come to find out yesterday that it wasn't even on the CBS show Sunday. It just appeared later on CBS's social media sites. This clip from this woman, her name's Jan Crawford, it got edited out of the actual broadcast. And you listen to it again and you can see why. Because this is mainstream media. We'll put it on Facebook. We'll put it on YouTube. But we're not going to have it just play over the airwaves. We've got to make some cuts. Let's cut this one. Let's cut this statement. This is part of her statement, clip 10.
You know, a healthy teenager has a 1 in a million chance of getting and dying from COVID, which is way lower than, you know, dying in a car wreck on a road trip. But they have suffered and sacrificed the most, especially kids in underrepresented at-risk communities. And now we have the Surgeon General saying there's a mental health crisis among our kids. The risk of suicide attempts among girls now up 51% this year. Black kids nearly twice as likely as white kids to die by suicide. I mean, school closures, lockdowns, cancellation of sports. You couldn't even go on a playground in the D.C. area without cops scurrying, shooing the kids off. Tremendous negative impact on kids, and it's been an afterthought. Yeah. You know, it's hurt their dreams, their future, learning loss, risk of abuse, their mental health. And now, with our knowledge, our vaccines, if our policies don't reflect a more measured and reasonable approach for our children, they will be paying for our generation's decisions the rest of their lives. And that, to me, is the greatest underreported story of the past year.
They're already paying the price. These are catastrophic side effects, what this woman alludes to there. CBS, cut it out. I don't know. Don't say it's hurt the children. Don't say the cure is worse than the disease. Let's edit that out. I mean, we can, reading between the lines, you can go ahead and say, like Nicole Wallace said, it's not working. I got the mask. I got the vaccine. I love Fauci, and I'm going to get Omicron. But let's just, let's make sure that we don't go too far in acknowledging our complete and total failure from start to finish of this plandemic. As I say, the trumpet, that's where you need to go if you want these kinds of headlines 18 months ago. Call our operators, 1-866-930-3024. Subscribe to the trumpet today. It's totally free, no cost, no obligation. The subscription, a one-year subscription, it's already paid for. Subscribe today. This is from the trumpet. August 2018 says, behold, this is before anybody ever heard about COVID. It says, behold the evils of human nature. When you give a leader or a government an enormous amount of power to control the economy, as well as the military, policy, international relations, everything else, the power to take from these people and give to those people, this is what it so often leads to. This is where socialism, communism leads. It's just a massive power grab. June 24th, 2020, says here, recent weeks have exposed a stunning paradox. First was an unprecedented exercise in authoritarianism. With COVID-19 as justification, governments implemented unprecedented authoritarian oppression, closing businesses, restricting travel, shutting down schools and churches, enforcing empty streets and public places, mandating social distancing and mask wearing, imposing massive fines, and arresting people for such crimes as going to the beach. That's right. Now, all of that was suspended, by the way, in the summer of 2020, because when the communists saw the people turning out to protest George Floyd and burning and looting, you could burn and loot all through the summer of 2020 and not get arrested. But in 2021, you go into Burger King without vaccine passports, New York City, you're arrested. Welcome to the upside down world. Says here, they invaded people's privacy. They followed them with drones. They tracked their movements through cell phone data. They said this was needed for a society to heal. Governors and other officials flexed their muscles, talked like dictators, and showed people who was boss. That's from June of 2020. We had one in April 17th, 2020. Coronavirus is killing democracy. That was in the first few weeks of this scam. It's killing democracy. Look at the way leaders are reacting to this. This is April of 2020, as governments around the world take increasingly dictatorial measures in order to get a handle on coronavirus, citizens are becoming more and more willing to give up their rights and freedoms to stop the disease's spread. And the article goes through some history. What generally happens when you give up those freedoms and liberties, the elites, they don't give them back. My father wrote back in 2013 that people's minds are getting conditioned to rule by a dictatorship or a tyranny. You read that in 2013, and it would have been easy to say, what in the, are you serious? Isn't that a bit of an exaggeration? Aren't you going a little too far? In 2013, my father said, people's minds are getting conditioned to rule by a dictatorship. Well, and then we had, of course, the cure is killing us. That's from May 2020 in the Trumpet magazine. As I say, if you aren't already subscribing to the Trumpet magazine, make sure that you call our operators today to get your free one-year subscription. You're listening to Stephen Flurry, and this is the Trumpet Daily. If you'd like to submit some feedback to the show, you can email us. The address is td@thetrumpet.com. We'll be right back.
The Trumpet Daily. Education is something most people take for granted. We assume it is something one acquires after graduating from a college or university. Yet the 20th century knowledge explosion has done little to solve the problems of this world. Crime, broken families, suicide, disease, mass illiteracy, and poverty. Why, in a world filled with so much advanced material knowledge, are there so many unsolvable problems? Why, after 6,000 years, has mankind been unable to find the solution to its escalating evils or to the number one problem it now faces, that of human survival? Our free booklet, Education with Vision, will show you what is wrong with education today. It will show you what is true education with vision and how to achieve it. Request your free copy of Education with Vision at our website, thetrumpet.com. The Trumpet Daily.
Last week we had a couple of Bible studies on the subject of stirring up the Spirit of God, like it says in 2 Timothy 1 and verse 6. Paul admonishing Timothy, his most trusted assistant, telling him, look, you got to stir it up, that power that's come into you by the laying on of hands, that power of God, the Spirit of God. It's something that we have to stir up or else it can be quenched, Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 5. We can actually grieve the Spirit. That's in Ephesians 4. So when you understand how the Spirit of God works in your life, then you know how important those tools are, those tools that we're meant to use to stir up that power, the tools of prayer and Bible study, meditation on God's purpose and plan, meditation on God's law. You can read that all through Psalm 119. The author there just over and again saying, it's what I think on all through the day. I know more than my teachers because I meditate on God's law. Meditation, fasting, occasional fasting, Christian fellowship. This is how we keep that Spirit stirred in our lives. That source, God the Father, it comes from God, the Spirit of God, the power from on high, and we've got to go to God daily to receive that spiritual power. I read through part of this section, Mark 5, and starting in verse 21, this an individual comes and says there's a little girl who's dying, and so Jesus was working his way, and all these people surrounding him. He could hardly make his way through the crowd. So many people pressing up against our Savior, pressing up against the Son of God, God in the flesh. And so Christ was on his way to anoint this little girl when a sick woman touched the hem of his garment, and Jesus discerned it. Because of the virtue or the power that drained out of his life, his body, his mind. This is from verse 29 of Mark 5. It says, and straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up. So this woman was healed when she touched the garment of Jesus Christ. It says, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. Notice verse 30. Again, it says, and Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? So he know that virtue went out from him into this woman. And that's how that she was healed from head to toe, by the power of God's Spirit. Not a vaccine, not some drug, not some drug made by a man, but by the power of God, by God's Holy Spirit. That word virtue comes from the Greek word that also is translated power, might, or force. It was God's power that he felt draining from him. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8 says, and you shall receive power. This is what Christ told his disciples. You're going to receive power from God once the Holy Spirit comes upon you. That's again over in Acts chapter 1. But just coming back to this example here in Mark 5, imagine being so spiritually empowered and so spiritually discerning that you would immediately know when there's a drain on that power. That is Jesus Christ. That's how spiritually minded he was. That's how filled he was with God's Spirit. He had the Spirit without measure, as we covered last time, or rather last week. Verse 31, and his disciples said unto him, you see the multitude thronging you, and say you, who touched me? What are you talking about? Who cares? Who cares who touched your garment? You're being touched by dozens of people. And he looked around to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, verse 33, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. Verse 34 says, and he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you whole. Go in peace and be whole of your plague. So this woman, I mean, her part in this was pretty obvious as well. She believed. She believed that this was the Son of God. She believed he was filled with God's power. Your faith has made you whole. Verse 35, and while he spoke, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, your daughter is dead. Why trouble you, the master, any further? So the original request that this daughter was sick and needed Jesus to anoint her, they come and say, yep, she's already dead. Don't bother coming. And so Christ, he still proceeds to go to this little girl's house. And when he got there, everybody just laughed him to scorn. He basically said, look, she's not dead. She's just sleeping. And they ridiculed him. They mocked the Son of God. They made fun of him. Notice Luke chapter 6, that you can finish reading Mark chapter 5, but Jesus, even though they laughed and ridiculed him, he sent the crowd outside and he proceeded to raise that little girl to life. He was right. She was just sleeping. So this woman that touches his garment, he feels the drain. And then he proceeds to go and raise this little girl to life. I mean, that took a lot of God's power as well. Jesus, this is why in the Gospels you see numerous occasions where he sends away the crowd or he scoots away on his own and prays to God and cries out to God. This was a man who lived the way of give, the way of love, constantly, every moment of every day, just pouring his heart into serving humanity. And there's no telling how many times he would have discerned that, wow, I can feel the drain of that spiritual energy. I can feel the drain of that virtue. So he had to go and replenish the supply. God's Spirit circulates. We can't just bottle it up and have enough for a lifetime. It flows. That's what your Bible says. It flows from God and into our lives and minds and out of us in the form of good works. And these are some pretty good works we're reading about. Miraculous works, miraculous healings. Luke chapter 6, verse 12, it says, "And it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray, and he continued all night in prayer to God." This is why he was filled with so much power. He just continued all night long crying out to God. There are those who say or believe that Jesus was just kind of some kind of a robot. He was just going through the motions. He was perfect because he was a robot, like picture of perfection. This was God in the flesh. Certainly he had the Spirit of God without measure, as we covered last week from John 3. But to pray all night to God? He didn't just pray for 1 hour and then say, "All right, I know I've got some big decisions tomorrow, but I think an hour certainly covers it. I got to get some rest. I mean, I'm getting a little tired physically." He prayed all through the night. And when you see what he had to do the next day, you can see why. These were some momentous decisions, and he wanted God to make them. He wanted God to select the disciples. But coming back to this spiritual recharge, notice Mark 1 and verse 35, it says, "And in the morning, rising up a great while before the day, he went out and departed into a solitary place, and there he prayed." Why did he get up so early? Was it so he could just go away for a 90-second prayer? He got up a great while before day because he prayed every morning for a long time. We just read where he did it all through the night. It's easy to focus in on the miracles, the spectacular miracles. But think about his relationship with God. Jesus in John 5 and verse 30 said, "I can of my own self do nothing." So he was constantly going to the Father. He was constantly going to God to pray for God to fill him with his Spirit, to fill him with his power. And he could even discern when there was a drain on that spiritual power. In Luke 22, you can read the account there where he prayed for several hours and sweat, great drops of blood. That's some effectual, fervent prayer. You can read in the Psalms about others in the Bible who prayed morning, noon, and night. Is that too much? Is that extreme? Well, look at all of the extreme behavior you see in this world today. People that worship at the altar of Fauci, an 81-year-old bureaucrat. Everything he says, they'll do it. I mean, they'll take it to the farthest, most extreme measure. And yet, I'm sure they'd be just like that crowd in that little girl's house if you showed up and said, "Listen, she's just sleeping. Look, God can raise the dead. God made the universe. God created man." You bring that kind of a message to some of these ruling elites today, they would laugh. They would have a good time. They would ridicule. They would mock you. Verse 13, it says, "And when it was day, he called unto him his disciples, and of them he chose 12, whom also he named apostles." So he prayed all through the night, and when it was day, he selected his disciples, the ones who would deliver the true gospel to the uttermost part of the earth, as it says in Acts 1 and verse 8. So these were important decisions. It was important that God choose the right people to be the disciples of Christ. So many of them were going to have to sacrifice their own lives in service to God. They were going to be martyrs. They were going to follow right in the steps of Jesus himself. Momentous decisions. They had to be set apart from God. Set apart by God. verse 17. And he came down with them, and he stood in the plain, and the company of his disciples, and a great multitude of people, out of all Judea and Jerusalem, and from the sea coast of Tyre and Sidon, which came to hear him, and he healed of their diseases, and to be healed of their diseases, it says in verse 18, and they that were vexed with unclean spirits, and they that were healed, verse 19 says, and the whole multitude sought to touch him, for there went virtue out of him, and he healed them all. I mean, he had enough of God's power. This unlimited power from God flowing in and out of Jesus Christ's life. He had enough there to heal all of them. Virtue, here again, power coming out from the Son of God. Tremendous amount of power. Jesus operated at peak performance, spiritually speaking, because he continually went to the source of that divine power, his Father in heaven. He was filled with the Spirit of God. Matthew 14, it says in verse 15, and when it was evening, his disciples came to him and said, this is a desert place, and the time is now past. Send the multitude away, that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals. But Jesus said to them, they need not depart. Give you them to eat. And they said to him, we have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. So we're familiar with this incredible miracle. There's more detail on it in John chapter 6. But verse 18 in this passage, it says, he said, bring them here to me. And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass. And he took 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And looking up to heaven, he blessed and broke and gave the loaves to his disciples and the disciples to the multitude. So he asked God's blessing on this meal. And as you know, God fed all of these thousands and thousands of people with just a tiny amount of food. A spectacular miracle. In John 6, it says the multitude wanted to take Christ right then and there and crown him as king. I mean, this had a dramatic impact on their thinking. Wow, this must be the Son of God. Verse 20, and they did all eat and were filled, and they took up of the fragments that remained 12 baskets full. And they that had eaten were about 5,000 men, beside women and children. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him on the other side while he sent the multitudes away. So he tells the disciples, all right, go head over to the ship. He sends the multitudes away. And what happens? Verse 23, and when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. He went up into the mountain. I mean, he was there for who knows how long, alone, just pouring his heart into his prayers. He no doubt discerned another drain on that spiritual energy. And so he was constantly going to God for another supply. This is from a Good News article back in 1972. It says, Christ had just expended dynamic, miracle-working power. And in the miracle of the healing of the woman, there must have been a heavy drain on his spiritual battery. So he went immediately to the source of all power in prayer to be spiritually recharged. Now you can read over in 1 Peter 2, verse 21, that he is our perfect example. And you can read in Ephesians 5, I think it's verse 17, where it says that we ought to be filled with the Spirit. How do we fill up on the Spirit of God? How do we stir up the Spirit of God, as Paul said to Timothy? How do we make sure we don't grieve the Spirit? Well, look at this relationship that Jesus had with his Father and aim for that kind of contact, that kind of relationship with God, so that you can be filled with the Spiit. You're listening to Stephen Flurry, and this is The Trumpet Daily. Send us feedback, td@thetrumpet.com. Thanks for joining us on today's show, and we'll see you tomorrow.